you would, get your Bibles and turn to Numbers, the 10th chapter. We'll be considering in that section verses 1 through 10. Numbers, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 10. It is always interesting to look back at how God instructed His people for all matters in connection with worship and service unto Him. And as we look back, I think that we have studied enough to understand that there is type and antitype. That we see, first of all, type under the law of Moses in connection with that which was to come, the antitype, the true, through Christ Jesus. And the same thing is so as we look here in Numbers, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 10. And I just want to go through these passages, first of all, and then we'll make application, I think, in connection with the antitype that now is, with what these particular passages are speaking of as instruction is given to Israel. The blowing of the trumpets is what is in consideration. When you look in the first verse, actually the first and second verse, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, thou shalt, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps." And so we see admonition, instruction given, where you have a herald in the form of the trumpets that were made at this time. And certainly, as we look at this, the application that we're going to make today is in a metaphorical sense. It's not actually blowing a literal trumpet. But we're going to look at what purpose was given in making these two trumpets for Israel at the time. And so where we see in verse 2, the summoning of the congregation in verse 2, and also for the breaking of camp. We see in verse 3, it says, "When both are blown, all the congregation shall gather at the entrance of the tent of meeting." Then in verse 4, "If they blow only one, then the chiefs and the heads of the tribes of Israel shall gather." In verses 5 and 6, "When you blow an alarm, the camps that are on the east side shall set out. And when you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that are on the south side shall set out." An alarm is to be blown whenever they are to set out. In verse 7, it says, "When the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow a long blast, but you shall not sound an alarm." In verse 8, "The priest shall blow the trumpets. The trumpet shall be to you for perpetual state throughout your generations. And when you go to war," verse 9, "in your land against the adversary who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies." Blowing of the trumpets, as we see then in verse 10, statement is made, "On that day of your gladness also, and at your appointed feast, and at the beginnings of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. They shall be a reminder of you before your God. I am the Lord your God." It is interesting to look at these trumpets and who it was that was blowing the trumpets. And I think to make application in today, as we stand before God, as we do service before God, especially in connection with the fact that these trumpets were emblematic of the voice of God. In other words, giving instruction. And not only that, but we also see the aspect of who it was that was blowing the trumpets. And it was the priests that were to blow the trumpets, emblematic of God's voice given to the congregation of direction and instruction of what to do in certain situations. And when we think back to that, and our relationship with the Lord, in 1 Peter, the second chapter, in verse 9, we find out that we are called there, that is, children of God, those that are Christians, are called there a royal priesthood. a royal priesthood. And wherever you think of that, there is the voice of God that comes through us that I believe that we must sound out as priest of God, as royal priest of God, that we sound forth to the congregation and for the various reasons that we just read. And we'll go through that now in just a moment. But understand that that trumpet was made by design, given from God. And understand that it was the work of the priest. It was the duty of the priest to sound forth all those different signals that would come to the congregation. I want us to keep that in mind as we go and look at the reasons that, those trumpets were blown. Again, they were blown by the priest. It was for gathering of the elders and also the congregation. And where if I think back to this and look at the aspect in a metaphorical sense today of the priest blowing the trumpets, they look unto leadership. And that was the purpose of gathering, of course, those elders, the princes that we read of in Numbers, the 10th chapter. The gathering of them. And it was not anything that was done in secret, but rather it was done before all, and the blast would come upon the trumpet, and there you would have the gathering of the elders together, and the entire congregation would know that there was leadership among them. And not only that, but the priest that blew the trumpets also recognized where leadership had come from. We know a little bit later on in the 16th chapter of Numbers that Korah called exception to the fact of leadership, naming expressly at that time, of course, Moses and Aaron. And yet God answered that question in a very outward way in which Korah and all those that agreed with him were swallowed up in the earth, and the earth closed up over them once again. And we understand God, though, had decided that there would be leadership. And as children of God, we sound forth that trumpet to show recognition of the fact that we do have leadership that comes down to us as designed by God, as ordained by God. And there is a passage I want us to consider and to keep in our mind as we think about our heralding of our elders, our shepherds in this congregation. Turn over to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. And we look first of all at verse 7. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. And let me just stop there for just a moment. Was it rather by speech or rather by example? Either way, the word of God is being spoken. It's being instructed. It's being taught. It's being seen. Whose faith follow, consider the end of their way of life, their conduct. And the herald is brought forth by us, that what we say and what we do is to hold up those that are shepherds over us and make a point that they are an example of what a child of God should be. In verse 17 of this same chapter, Hebrews the 13th chapter, in verse 17, the writer says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And you look now at the grave responsibility of those that are shepherds, as they that give account, that they might do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now I want us to consider that heralding, our blowing of the trumpet, so to speak, of course, in that metaphorical sense. We have elders that direct us. We look for their direction and we look for their instruction. And what we do as children of God, just as is stated here by the Hebrew writer in verse 17 in Hebrews the 13th chapter, we make it as easy on them as possible in the way that we show the respect unto them and we follow the leadings that they put before us. May it be in thankfulness by this congregation that we as priests blow the trumpets for the elders in gathering them and showing forth where our leadership is. But not only where the trumpet's blown for this reason, also for war and safety. And God made provision for both that leadership that was there, but also protection. And not only just protection, but also to go on the offense from time to time. And wherever you think about that, of course, I know you know that I'm going to be turning over to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. I'd like for you to turn there with me if you would. And you look at the armor that is given to us by God, and now in the new covenant that we are under, we are given instruction to herald forth. And the reason being is, that is the sounding of the trumpets in that metaphorical sense. And the reason being is that we are at war. And any time that we forget that we are at war, we've lost the war. When we see in verse 10 of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And one of the wiles of the devil would say, just as we read this morning from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 2, peace and safety, there's no problem. There's nothing for you to worry about, but there is, because we are at war. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And wherever I look at all that, I don't know that I can explain all of that, but I know this. That the influence that is trying to be pressed upon us by the wicked one, by Satan, has no bounds or limits to the use of what they will try to do to turn us away from the Lord. Where men might have some bounds and some limits, and not all do, but some do, Satan does not. And neither do those that work for him. So verse 13 says, "Wherefore take upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with the truth. Having on then the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And whenever you look at that entire armament that has been given to us by God to put on, you have that which is used for protection, but also that which is used in offense. Just as it was for war and safety, and the sounding forth of the heralding of the priest when there was trouble that the congregation was about to face, or when there was a battle that needed to be fought. And I think there's application for us today in this, is that we gather around. We put on that armor whenever there is false doctrine that is taught, whenever untruths are stated. And we gather together, we consider those things, we learn about those things, and we look to God's Word for instruction. We take the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and understand how to deflect the false ideas and thoughts that come from Satan. And so we have then, as priest, a responsibility to metaphorically blow the trumpet when danger is near, and when we need to go on the offense, because that danger would spare no one because of where it comes from. That is from, of course, the prince of the power of the air, as Paul says in Ephesians 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 3. And so we need not only be blowing the trumpet, expressing the fact that we have leadership in this congregation, but also we blow the trumpet because we recognize we are at war and there needs to be protection from time to time, and we gather the resources together to do so. But also for direction. And when we think about this, remember the sounding of the trumpet took place and one side of the camp would leave, and then another sounding of the trumpet with the alarm would take place and the other side of the camp would leave. And it was for direction to go a certain way that God had directed them, whether it be in wartime, whether it be in peacetime, the breaking of the camp, but direction in which the Lord would direct them. And we see that. And the same thing is true for us today with God's word. The instruction in righteousness, as Paul puts it in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 16, it says, all scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, that is teaching, that is the direction, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. In other words, we sound forth the trumpet for the direction that we have from God's word. We don't speak of ourselves. We don't have our words come forth. Our voices come forth. That's from the mind of man. But we allow God's voice to speak to us through his word. And we sound forth that trumpet of truth. That trumpet of direction. Because we know that God knows which way we need to go in this life. But also, those trumpets were to be sounded for joy, for sacrifice, and for the marking of times. And I'm afraid that maybe we get caught up too often just in the negative aspects of the things that are around us. And certainly all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And it is around us, and we are in the world. But yet we're given instruction. Rejoice. Be joyful in the Lord. And there's a reason for that, because we have become children of God, and not only children of God, but sons of God, and not only that, but heirs of God, and not only that, but also joint heirs of with Christ Jesus. Romans the 8th chapter, verses 14 through 16. And when we think about that, there is great joy in that. That we're no longer sinners if we're children of God. I'm not saying that we're perfect. But we're no longer yielding ourselves as instruments of unrighteousness, as Paul speaks of in Romans 6, chapter verse 12 and following. But rather we are counted as children of God and sons of God. We're not counted as sinners. That's what we were. We're now children. And forgiven children, and brothers with the one that died for us. And so the sounding of the trumpet is to be seen also in the way that we conduct ourselves, about having joy of our salvation, about our relationship with one another, and especially our relationship with God. And I wonder if we let other people see that, or if we don't sound the trumpet enough in connection with that. People don't really realize from us, if they look at us, well, there's no joy in being a Christian. Look at them. No, that's not the way it is to be. They're to see happy people. They're to see blessed people. They're to see forgiven people. A reason for rejoicing is to be seen. Also for the sacrifices that were made. They would assemble and get together, and where the sacrifices would be offered, there was a sounding forth of the trumpet that was saying unto God, we have given the best that we have. We're not giving the halt and the blind and the maimed, but rather we give the best that we have, sacrifice without spot and blemish. And the sounding forth of the trumpet was coming forth to all the congregation, sounding forth that God is receiving the best that we have. And that really should be the way that we worship our God and serve our God. And not just on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon or Wednesday, but that's each and every day of our life. We sound forth that trumpet. It says, Lord, you're receiving the best from us. You're receiving the best that we can do. But also it was for the marking of times. It was their feast days at the first of the months and so forth. So the marking of times was shown in the heralding of the trumpet being blown. And I think that we are to mark times also, in the sense that we understand that there is a time that is coming in which we're going to be facing our God. God is not going to be mocked. Galatians 6 chapter verse 7, and when we look at verse 8, he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And we mark our times here day by day, with the attitude of looking forward to the goal. And we show that not only to ourselves, not only to this congregation, but we show that to those that are in the world. We are marking our times. We look at each day at a time without promise of tomorrow. But if there is no tomorrow, what a joyful thing that is, because we'll be with our Lord. But we mark the times day by day. We don't get too far ahead of ourselves. Neither do we rest on our laurels and look backward. But we're always pressing toward the mark, as Paul said that he was, and the prize of the high calling. We're always looking forward, and so we're marking the times. And so I ask you, in connection with this sermon, have you been blowing the trumpet as priest of God? I don't mean physically. I'm talking about the way that you live your life. Have you been sounding it forth? Do others recognize that you respect authority? Do others recognize that you seek after the direction that comes from God? That there's joy in your life? That you are ready for the warfare if it comes your way, and you're ready to protect those that would hear the truth? Or do they see us as never mentioning anything concerning God, never mentioning anything concerning Christ Jesus, and having the attitude, well, they'll just have to make their own decision? That's true. But remember what is stated in Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, verses 7 through 10. Oh, son of man, I've made you a watchman over the house of Israel. And if I say to you, you warn the wicked of their ways, and you do not warn the wicked of their ways, I say that their soul shall die, but their blood shall be upon your head. But son of man, if you warn the wicked and they refuse to hear what you have to say, you have saved your soul. They shall be destroyed, but you shall save your soul because you've done what you are to do. Responsibility is there, but they need to hear the sound of the trumpet from us. So here's the sound of the trumpet this afternoon. If you're not a child of God, this congregation is blowing forth the trumpet. There's salvation in Christ Jesus. Obedience to His will. The call for you to come and be assembled with this congregation, the saved body of believers, in rendering obedience unto God, becoming a part of God's called out body. And that trumpet is being sounded to you this afternoon. To those that may be Christians but have not been living the way, you've fallen into captivity in the battle. But we are here to help you, to relieve you from that bondage that you are in, because we will pray with you and for you if you've not lived the life that you should. And we will sound the trumpet of our God and the salvation that He offers to not only you, but to each and every one of us. Let us sound the trumpet. Let's respond to it. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.